The James Beard Awards are like the Oscars of the food world. And this year, three Arizona chefs were named as semifinalists for Best Chef Southwest. They are Charlene Badman of FNB in Scottsdale, Kevin Binkley of Binkley's Restaurant in Phoenix, and Silvana Salcida Esparza, who was recognized this year for her work at Barrio Cafe Gran Reserva on Grand Avenue in downtown Phoenix. They've each been on this list many times before, as they've been some of the faces who have shaped Arizona's culinary scene for years. But that scene is not where any of them would like it to be. All three came into our studios recently to talk more about that and how they would like to see Arizona become a real food town. And I started by asking them about this most recent recognition from the James Beard Foundation. You'll hear Chef Salcido Esparza first.
It means a lot to be, just to make it to the list. And one, it's a guy's world. I don't want to throw that out there, you know, but it's true. If you look at the list, it's always guys. So it's nice to have two women and one guy for a change. So we're the powerhouses this year. I've earned it. It's my Academy Award nomination, and I'm going to own it.
I agree with Silvana. It's awesome that we get to have an opportunity as women to be recognized as well. I have an entire staff in my kitchen full of women, but I try to make sure they don't, you know, we're all, don't have that attitude like we're women and it's a men against women sort of idea, but that, you know, we're a team and we're working together and not necessarily what our gender is. There are less of us, so it is, it's nice to get out there and get noticed.
Do you still, you know, wait up and watch for the list to come down every year?
For my sake, no. I've never paid attention to actually when it comes out. The way I find out is usually because my mother pays attention to it. She sends me a text first thing in the morning when that happens. And I absolutely agree with Silvana. There's no question it's an honor. I will admit that the thrill goes away a little bit after the 11th or 12th time you've been nominated. And there's no question it's a little bit political as well, but mm-hmm. It's a pretty impressive organization that carries a lot of weight at this point. And it would be great to even make it to the finals. And God knows if one of us got the award, I think it'd be great for Phoenix and Arizona to bring it back for the first time in many, many years.
Do you feel like you three are sort of representatives of Arizona food?
I think there's no question the three of us are representing Arizona food. I mean, quite honestly, just because we're in Arizona, but we're one of many. I think there's a lot of great chefs in Arizona, particularly in Phoenix, that are doing similar things that we're doing, that we're really trying to raise the bar and trying to do something unique. And every day we put our head down and put our best foot forward. And I just don't feel like Phoenix is recognized as a food city. And it mm-hmm. would be great if it was. And I know there's, with Steve Chukri and the Arizona Restaurant Association, they're putting some great efforts this year into trying to change the perception of Phoenix, because it is a good food scene, but you need to know where to go. It's very different than many other cities. Like if you think about Chicago, majority of the great restaurants are kind of in one particular area. And here, Phoenix is sprawling. It's all over the place. So it's you need to know where to go. And I would love it if Phoenix was identified more as a food city. It would kind of raise awareness nationally and potentially internationally and make it more of a destination for that, because currently what we are is a destination for snowbirds, the good weather in the wintertime, the resorts, the golf, sports. Food should be at the top of that list.
Right. Well, what do you think that takes? What does it take to get Phoenix more internationally and nationally recognized as, like you said, a food city?
Things like somebody getting the James Beard Award puts the spotlight on it and opens eyes. And then if we can kind of ride that momentum for years to come and just continue to, I think, promote young chefs and promote people that care and are passionate about it, whether it's a restaurateur or a chef-driven restaurant, so that we get more diversity, and diversity brings more attention. So we're on our way. I just wish it was faster. Mm-hmm. But my guess is everybody sitting in this room feels the same way.
Well, with growth comes also more competition, which in turn is good for all of us. Mm-hmm. I work with the young chefs, and I try to teach them the cuisine of their culture in hopes that we can produce more fresh, young Mexican chefs. That's for me. That's my personal goal. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it a little bit at a time, and I really would like to see that more.
Yeah. So it's about growing young talent. I wonder, when you talk about the Arizona food scene, right, what does that mean to each of you? Charlene?
The Arizona food scene is so diverse, and there's so, look at just the three of us and what the difference of right. what we do. But then there also is such a difference in Arizona as far as I think of like our climate, but then what we have to offer that is different from everywhere else in the United States. We have completely different seasons than so many other places in the United States. Right now, there's a nor'easter and it just happened, and we're planting tomatoes, mm-hmm. and we have asparagus, and we have snap peas, and there's so many people that come here, and they still have the mindset that we are steak and potatoes, and they're so surprised at what we have to offer. We have beautiful vegetables. We have grains here. We grow so many beautiful things. They're so surprised to see that. I don't think you can just pinpoint it to one thing.
So if we're not defined by regional cuisine in that way, which I don't think we are, I think you're right, I think it's diverse in that way, then what is it that you think defines, or would you like to see define, what we mean when we say Arizona food? Kevin?
Well, I think Charlene kind of hit on it. I think it's the fact that we're unique. And I think that's a great way to define what we're here, because of the diversity that we offer. We're in the Southwest, but what's Southwestern food? If you put black beans and corn on the plate and some cilantro, all of a sudden you're Southwestern. You know, it's so to me, Southwestern food is undefined. I don't think it's very simple to pinpoint what exactly that is. And the diversity that we have here is immense.
But Silvana, you talk about the heritage behind this, though. There is history behind regional food here.
Yeah, there is a lot of history. You know, early Arizona was early Mexico. And before that, it was indigenous. So where do you draw the line and say, what is Arizona food? What represents Arizona food? You know, you could slap a Sonora sobaquera tortilla, you know, with some of Charlene's vegetables and Kevin's sauce and take on it. Is that official Arizona? I don't know. I think that Arizona kind of does have its own identity, and it's growing now. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been defined.
So it's about diversity, it sounds like, to you.
It sounds like it is.
Do you think that Arizona has sort of the ecosystem that we should have to support a burgeoning food scene, to grow it?
I believe it does. An hour and a half, 2 hours north of here, it's 4,000, 5,000 the elevation higher. Southern Arizona, elevation is much higher there as well, so you're able to grow different vegetables. I use the farmers that we have here. It does become somewhat limited in June, July, and August, even right. September. But I'm starting to work with other farmers that are in the north, and they have produce that's super exciting in those mm-hmm. months. And they can make, say, our corn season, which stops here in the Phoenix area around 1st of July, they can continue it on until September. But we have so many farmers. I mean, my farmers wish that I used more vegetables. And I'm like, look how much I'm buying. How many collard greens did you plant?
There's no question. What we're shooting for is trying to use the best products we possibly can, which means that probably 85% of them are local. But there's things we can't get here. We can't get chocolate here. We can't get coffee here. The meat is very difficult here. Goats do well here. Lambs do okay. We can get some livestock from further north, that's all right. But for really, I think what we do best here in the valley are vegetables, which is awesome for Charlene and awesome for everyone else that's a chef here, because really vegetables are the base of most dishes, where the protein is usually an accent.
Yeah,
I'm actually having to grow some of my herbs that I can't get just so I can use them in Gran Reserva. I got a whole bunch of pepita.
I was getting ready to say, can I buy some pepita from you? Because I can't find it.
I'll hook you up, believe me. So it's like that, right? Yeah. You have to have those connections.
So we've talked a lot about Arizona food and the inspirations that you pull and the role that you've all had in building this food scene here in the Valley. Where would you like to see it go next?
Well, for my sake, I'd like to see this as identified as more of a food city. I'd like to see the people that deserve to be supported more, particularly over the months that were slower. Because we're great in this town with honoring or glorifying these types of chefs that are sitting in this room. We're the ones that the Arizona Republic likes to write about. We're the ones that you want to interview.
Right.
But we're not always the ones that are the busiest or making it work. So while we're being kind of glorified, we need to be dining in these restaurants, and not just in the months where it's nice here and we're getting outside visitors, but year-round. And I know for a lot of these really great chefs, it's a struggle. And there's a concern every year whether or not they're going to be able to reopen after summer, because summers get so slow.
Mm. And that is coming from a man who's been nominated for James Beard countless times, and if he doesn't win this year, he will continue. So you can imagine the smaller guy or gal coming up in this industry. It's brutal. It is ruthless. It will chew you up and make you not want to be a chef. So those of us who are still here, we struggle. Yeah. It's a daily struggle, not only to put out the best food possible, but to fill those seats.
So it sounds like you need community support.
Oh, yeah, because once the tourists are gone, we depend on the community for sure.
I'm so grateful for the regulars that will continue to come in the, I mean, I will bow down to them in June, July, and August. We go from 6 days to 4 days to try and consolidate our business because there's no point in being open 6 days and being slow, trying to be as busy as possible in four. It's going to take getting more attention from the rest of the country as far as journalists and the exposure that we need. I would like to see us also become a food town. And when people come here and they say, I'm from Portland, I'm from LA, I'm from Chicago, and then they proceed to give you a compliment or tell you how maybe you should change things. I'd like to be able to have the respect that those cities have. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of time where it comes back here. And hopefully, you know, with one of us being able to bring back that recognition, we have to get it back here and get that attention and kind of, you know, wave our hand and say, you know, we're over here and we're doing really well. And this, we have so much more to offer too.
Charlene Badman, Kevin Binkley, Silvana Salcida Esparza, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chefs Charlene Badman, Kevin Binkley, and Silvana Salcida Esparza are the chefs representing Arizona in the James Beard Awards this year. The finalists will be announced later this week.